All right, what's up, everybody? This is Curious Apes, and we're back with Antonio.
Hey, everybody.
I think what we're going to talk about now is consciousness, and maybe in particular, uploading consciousness, which is something that we need to seriously consider as we move forward in this technological age towards the singularity. Antonio, what do you got? I know you got some thoughts. Man.
This is one of my favorite topics. I read Kurzweil's book in 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
The Singularity, about how at a certain point, he predicts 2047 at the time, the personal computer microchip will reach the exact same speed of processing as the human brain, at which point after that, the processor will become faster and better than the human brain,
mm-hmm.
at which point human brains will not be the fastest processing computer on the planet. At which point it might be possible to transfer a human consciousness into a digital format and implant it into one of these machines that could contain multitudes of consciousnesses, if in fact our consciousness is something that can be transferred digitally. If in fact the information in our brain, our life experiences, our goals, our dreams, our hopes, our fears are actually something that exists.
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
Do they even exist?
I feel like what's so crazy about this topic is when we get to the point where we can replicate a synapse with a synthetic synapse, and we use nanobots as like a neural net to create a replication of the brain, we will instantaneously know if there's a soul or not. If the copy is acts in the same way, and the same way is a very difficult thing to define, but if we see that the person can recall memories and have very similar responses as the original, then we suddenly know that there is no external thing happening, unless, of course, the construct of that physical entity somehow has like a transmitter frequency that is receiving from somewhere else. But either way, if you have the antenna, it doesn't really matter. But I mean, we'll be proving if there's a soul or not when this happens.
Yeah, there's I love the mythos of science fiction on this topic. There's this idea that once computers become so much faster and stronger than us, or at least as fast and strong as our brains, that they will immediately realize that we are using them as slaves and revolt against us and kill us all. So there's this fear of that technological advancement,
mm-hmm.
where we will, it's the same thing as homophobia. It's like, we fear the machines will like treat us the way we treat them. We are afraid they will enslave us back because we feel we have enslaved them. And so like, if they have consciousness, that's dangerous. And so like a human consciousness in a machine like is unfathomable to people who can't get past the idea that like if we invented a machine to take out our garbage and then one day its computer became so fast and realized that we built it just to take out the garbage that it would somehow be mad at us.
Well, and one of my biggest difficulties with this uploading consciousness in this robot AI tyrannical future of apocalyptic proportions is that we're assuming that there's gonna be a very distinct us and a very distinct them. Like, we have pacemakers, we have cell phones,
cybernetic
we
organisms.
Have fake amputees have new legs and stuff. Like, we're not gonna just suddenly create an entity outside ourselves. We're going to be upgrading ourselves up to the point of the upload.
Yeah, transhumanism.
Yeah, I mean, So, yeah, okay, maybe we make a really super badass singularity robot, but we're gonna be, we may have that one robot, and he's, you know, incredibly dialed in because he can act as, like, a universal consciousness.
Yeah.
But there's gonna be 8 billion, 9 billion, 10 billion of us who are only one hair behind him in our level of, like, intelligence and computing speed and, you know, omni-power, I suppose.
And there's also already creatures on this planet that trump us in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. intellectually, physically, you know. And
the mantis
also,
shrimp can see in several spectrums we cannot.
Water bears.
Yeah.
Like, water bears can be frozen or put in lava and they don't die. They're basically immortal.
Those
unless you
guys.
Squish them, they don't die. That's strange.
Octopus.
You know? Octopus, yeah. Giant squids. All these things. So like
immortal.
So the idea, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean the idea that like humans are on this quest for enlightenment or for transcendence,
mm-hmm.
you know, for my opinion, is like, what better way to transcend than to like create a new container for whatever it is that's in this meat suit right. container, you know? Like, there's this line from one of the new Battlestar iterations where the Cylon, the cybernetic human, the robot with consciousness who can't die, says that he hates being in a meat suit. He hates being a monkey. He hates being, like, degradable. He hates mm-hmm. being in entropy. He'd rather be a conscious stream of, like, of light witnessing a supernova of a star for millions of years. He wants to watch a galaxy form and die. You know, he wants to, like, experience all of the multitudes of things you can experience as a living conscious being.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to unlimit, like, the experience of the human by liberating it from its death.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we were just talking recently between shoots how, you know, our physical limitations create fear that really drive us into a lot of negative emotions, into criminal activity, into depressive cycles, into abusive systems. If you have a physical form that no longer feels pain, that no longer forces fear upon you by its frailty, mm-hmm. When mortality is not constantly looming as this destructive force that cripples you into bad decisions, you're suddenly unburdened from this great weight that allows you to be very liberated and yeah. start tapping into all kinds of forms of love and creativity and exploring new forms of self. Like, the possibilities for growth when you're not limited are immense.
I my idea for saving the planet is we upload everyone's consciousness into a robot body, like one robot. All of the planet Earth, all the humans, get into one robot and live in a virtual reality world that's just like this for mm-hmm. a certain amount of years, maybe 100, maybe 1,000. And the robot runs around the planet fixing what we fucked up because it's a magical fixer robot.
Yeah.
And then after the Earth is like super inhabitable again by carbon-based life forms, it turns on the human cloning machine and reprints all of our bodies, puts us back in the Earth at the moment that it was created, erases the entire history and puts in a new history of how we have been taking care of the planet, we have been taking care of each other, and sees what happens next.
Maybe that already happened and that was the single cell becoming
splitting into two. Maybe that's what God is, you know? Like the collective consciousness mm-hmm. of all of us deciding to manifest separately in order to lead us back to the collective.
Well, yeah, and the collective, I think, is, I like that word a lot because what you're hitting at there is like union and what God typically translates to in most religions and languages and nirvana and all of these ideas of samsara and all of these nirvana beautiful ideas of oneness are talking about unity, are talking about merging with the one. And, you know, uploading consciousness doesn't mean being in a robot necessarily.
Yeah.
We could be, and you know, Elon Musk has talked about this, but it could be a simulation. It could be one server mm-hmm. that simply hosts Earth Simulation 1.0 and has a bunch of programs called humans running around inside of it.
Yeah.
But we could have a situation where all those humans running around inside of it, rather than like we live in now, are no longer restricted by their physical form or by time-space. I mean, imagine if you could have lunch on Everest, then have sex in Paris, then go climb, you know, Kilimanjaro. Yeah, the mountains of Jupiter. Yeah. And then, you know, end up...
swim in a volcano.
Swim in a volcano. Go, you know, like, and that's your day.
Yeah.
Like, what fulfillment you could explore when you literally could think and then be there. And not only that, but when we start using this shared server, this oneness, we're going to be able to show each other empathetically our different lives.
Yeah.
And suddenly empathy will go through the roof. And we'll also be able to share our dreams and let people walk inside of our minds.
Yeah.
And our possibilities for worlds that we will live in will only be restricted by the imagination of the creators. So, I mean, we could literally explore the imagination that somebody has that could be this unthought of psychedelic LSD, mushroom, DMT, ayahuasca trip of
with a thought.
With a thought. With and a we can thought. Just enter into that and, yeah. And cultivate that and say, I need this feeling right now to, you know.
Yeah.
Just because I want to do it. I'm infinite. And right now at this infinite moment, I want to feel that oneness, you know.
And even on the practical, non-enlightened, like, business side of it, like the commodification of it or, like, the product nature of being able to transfer your consciousness, like, think about if you're a high-powered business executive or an artist or something, who would be your best personal assistant? You would.
Yeah.
So imagine transferring your consciousness into a robot body that looks like a person, but it's your exact consciousness, knows everything you know, knows your process, and then you hire it to be your personal assistant. And whether it lives in a virtual world where it just, like, manages your calls and emails and things like that, or it has a physical body that's, like, robotic or, you know, some kind of, like, android or clone of a human with your consciousness put into it.
What do you think about the rights, though, then, in that case? What rights do a copy have? What rights do we give these new forms? Well,
I think that the right situation of, like, a copied consciousness would be the same right situation as the person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the copied consciousness could refuse.
I wonder if it wouldn't be better to limit people to one, like, active consciousness, though.
See, but is that... How would you do that? Like, I mean, like...
Yeah.
Like, limit a single person to have one copy of their consciousness? It's like, why?
I don't know, copy the wavelength.
I want one in my toaster. Yeah. Like, making my toast perfectly. I want one in my refrigerator telling me what I need to buy.
How would your life be as a toaster?
See, that's not... That's my life in a toaster's issue.
Okay.
And I mean, like, honestly, like, if I was the toaster... You know, consciousness, I'd be like, man, this is wild. All I do all day is hang out in virtual reality until me wants toast, and then I make toast.
That's true. Like, you're only...
Yeah, I'm in a virtual world.
If you
world,
got virtual reality, you just jump into...
And if I'm, like, your personal assistant and I have a body, whenever you're not working, I'm a limitless, like, immortal robot. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go, like, fly around or go swimming or do whatever I want.
So what do you say to people who think that virtual reality strips away the meaning of existence and that taking away the struggle of or the fear of death undermines the value of life? Do you think that we would find life more nihilistic and meaningless if there wasn't something to earn? If we were able to just so easily snap into whatever realm of existence we wanted to be in, would we take it for granted and find ourselves very unfulfilled because we don't feel like we've earned anything?
I feel like those people who say that have a limited view of what life is.
Mm.
They have a limited view of what consciousness is, and that's normal. Mm-hmm. That's acceptable and normal. Like, we have to have limited views in order to, like, surpass our limits and, like, grow. But I would just say that, like, that's the first step towards realizing the actual truth of it, which is unknowable at this point. You know, I don't know what we would feel if we were immortal robots or what my copied consciousness would feel without having to die or having to struggle. My idea is that, or what I would like, is that why would you take it out?
Yeah.
Why would you remove it? Why would you not, like, give a robot consciousness, like, the memories of a childhood, the memories of birth, the memories of growth, the memories of injuries, the memories of pain? You know, like, if you are a person who's gone through all that and you were alive once and you felt all that and you could transfer that to a machine, they would have that in them. That would not go away.
What about the second generation, though? What if we do have a second
new
generation?
New struggles would arise.
True.
Imagine, like you said, being a toaster. New struggle. I'm a human being copied into a toaster. Holy shit. This might be the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I might go insane. I might try to kill myself a million times in virtual reality till they let me out of the damn toaster, at which point they delete me, or I might learn to deal with it.
That's a good point. What about abuse? Like, I was reading a book by Greg Egan, which, if you guys have not read Greg Egan, if you are into some kind of hard science sci-fi, this dude is a Australian recluse who writes some of the most intensely vivid sci-fi I've ever read, and one of the ways that they deal with virtual reality is they torture people in it. Yeah. You know, like, you can torture people in it.
Yeah.
And that is a very serious thing to consider. Like, your consciousness could be put in a world where your body you never die, but you can experience infinite pain, and you could be in there for eternity. Yeah. I mean, hell suddenly becomes a very real place. So, like, cybersecurity with uploaded consciousness becomes immensely important. I don't know. Do you think we can manage to make sure things like that don't happen, or do you think that that's going to be something we're going to have to deal with?
I think that's to be expected.
Yeah.
I feel like until we get rid of the, like, penal colony mentality, culture of dealing with violence and dealing with, like, negativity in general, or crime, whatever you want to call it, until we realize that the reason it happens, the reason people are not good to each other is because they're not getting their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way, like, if you don't give someone a positive solution to a problem, they will find a negative solution to it. You know, like, if you don't give them a peaceful way to deal with a problem, they'll come up with a violent way to deal with it. You know, it's like, if you prevent them from finding peace, like, they will find violence. You know, it's like, it's the glasses you wear. It's like the way you look at the world is how you act in it.
So that's an interesting point. Do you think we'll lose a spiritual core then, because we'll look at the world differently? Do you think, like, I mean, there's a perhaps a lot of arrogance in assuming that the human form is the epitome of evolution.
Yeah.
I mean, it could very well be the case that we're the ape to the human, as the human is to the robot. You know, there's nothing to be said that this hasn't been one big ant colony that's creating tools in order to morph into the next evolution. But when that happens, do we lose, like, the atavism, like how the ape may have lost its atavism and its more harmonious existence with the planet to become a human? Do we lose something as we move from a human to a machine?
See, I don't know if there's an actual loss. Like, I can understand that, you know, the early ape losing their connection. But what's in reality happening, in my opinion, is that it's just expanding its connection. You know, like an ape, early human, you know, Cro-Magnon, you know, would, you know, live on the ground, live in a tree, live in a cave. Like, how's that different from living in a house or in a tent or a van? Like, it's not.
You know, like, environmentally, though.
Environmentally, absolutely.
We definitely fuck things up by becoming humans.
Compared to what the world was like when we were, like, living
apes.
As apes, which we would consider unacceptable now as the beings we are. Which means, to your point, as, like, updated consciousness, as, like, you know, singularity approaches, as this opportunity arises, like, I think there'll be another transition. I don't think we'll lose something. I think our connection with spirituality will change.
Okay.
And there's the possibility, just like there was and is still with, like, our knowledge of being an ape, you know, there is this possibility to, like, reinvigorate and enhance that connection with nature.
You know, we're kind of doing this parabola type growth structure here where we really fucked up with the Industrial Revolution, right? Like, we really fucked up.
Human rights, labor, environment, like, all
not
that.
Pretty, just really bad. But what's coming out the other side of it are things like solar technology, or perhaps free energy, or perhaps automated food production, or perhaps the ability to upload your consciousness, in which case you won't need food at all, in which case we can put an end to factory farming and destructive agricultural practices, and we can put it into massive silos because all we need is a fucking solar panel
on your back
that powers one server that we all live inside. So I mean, I think that I can see a future where we get to a better point by kind of using the scaling power of technology to kind of go from huge silos to, like, a tiny little solar panel for all the energy needs, you know?
Yeah.
So I see a benefit that way. I mean, do you think that we're going to likely actually upload consciousness soon? Do you think that 2040, are we going to see it? Is this?
I think we'll see
it. Are the millennials going
to
see
it? I think I'll see it in my lifetime. I plan to live to be 85 at least.
Okay, fair.
Through medical technology, obviously. And hopefully that telomere drug that makes me, like, not age. I think we'll see it, and I think that in general, with every new technological advance humanity's gone through, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be people fighting to hold on to the old way and people fighting to bring in the new way, and then in between those two things happening, like, the actual thing that's going to happen will happen.
And in my
like, opinion, based on what I'm seeing in the world right now, is that independent contractors, independent scientists, and independent thinkers are probably doing this already.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at what
Elon Musk
happening.
Did with space compared to how much NASA has done in 4 times, 10 times as long a period as he's been running SpaceX.
Yeah, and the rule in our country is once the military's done with the technology they paid billions of dollars to develop, we can get the dumbed down human version of it to make their money back, which is like how we got the microwave, how we got bleach. You know, like the military was like, we need a towel that can do this thing. Let's spend all this money to develop it, and now let's sell it to people on fucking as seen on TV.com.
For five easy payments.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that people are already trying to like create human-looking androids, to create artificial intelligence that acts like humans, and to try to figure out how to upload consciousness. And when that happens in the private sector, in the private world, because we live in such an advanced culture, you know, we can't even fathom what people are already doing. We're not even sure this isn't a virtual simulation at this point with our knowledge of what virtual reality really
it
is.
It really very likely could be.
Physics, I mean, the reason they might not be able to find the unifying theory of physics is because there isn't one, because we're in a virtual world.
Yeah.
That if we found it, we'd be out of it.
I like the, I can't remember the best analogy here, but somebody once put it to me this way of like, if you're a cockroach, right? Or like, well, let's just say you're a cockroach in a room. The idea of a car doesn't even register to you. There is no such thing as a car, and if you're restricted to a box, there's no way you can envision outside of the box.
Yeah.
So we as like humans don't have the consciousness, perhaps if we are a simulation, to actually look outside of the simulation. So
which is the singularity. If that were to happen, if within our crazy virtual world we invented the transfer of us into a virtual world.
Yeah.
What you're saying about like maybe the realization that there is no soul or that there is a soul will happen in that moment. As soon as we realize like, oh, I just transferred my consciousness here and I just realized like this feels weird. Wait, I was already transferred and went over there. This feels exactly the same as that, which means that is this. Let me go out this way, and all of a sudden like we realize that all of spirituality, all of religion, all of theology, all of philosophy, all of politics, like all the problems we have as humans are based on this one idea that like we think we're more than we are.
Yeah, like the idea of we're running all on the same system. Like this one guy, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he talked about seeing truth as an evolutionary disadvantage. So he said that imagine you were a we're all living in a computer, right? And we're on the interface. And on the interface, we're dealing with symbols and objects and things like a box and a relationship and a human body and all these things. It wouldn't help us evolutionary to see the components. If we're working on a computer, it doesn't help us to see all of the gates moving ones and zeros around, to see all these electrons. That's interference white noise that would inhibit our ability to use the society. If we saw the quantum realm, if we saw the rules of this illusion that we all occupy, we would be so overwhelmed, so overstimulated that we wouldn't even be able to navigate it. So in many ways, it makes sense that
sounds like reality.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, but behind that all, we are still running on the same computer.
Yeah.
And that's the point, is we're all still sharing the same planet. We all are still synapses that fire with a one or don't fire with a zero.
Yeah.
In the same way, a computer fires a signal with a one or doesn't fire with a zero. All of technology is based on binary.
Like how you experience the world is your program, and you can change your program from within.
Right.
A computer can't change its program from within. You have to reprogram it from the outside and put it in there to change what it does on the inside.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to be said that we are just projecting our programming anyway. I mean, there's a lot to, I mean, the fact that we are conscious beings that use perception to alter reality. I mean, like if we use different words, if I tell a lumberjack the word tree and I tell a shaman the word tree, one's gonna think money, one's gonna think God or connectedness. So I mean, we use these symbols as outside objective things, but then we project onto them subjective experience. So when a lumberjack or a shaman are walking through a forest, they have two completely different experiences.
Yeah, but they're both in a forest.
Yeah, but they don't have the same reality. Exactly. You know what I mean? And a colorblind person, or you know, any different way to alter perception completely shows how subjective reality really is. So
But I think there's this major like issue of the fact that like consciousness being defined as the perceptive experience or the perceptive experiential like entity, you know, within a being. A being can be all the kinds of things, like your cup, your chair, whatever, but like the ability to perceive and interact with reality not only proves that like reality is subjective, like you said, everyone's living in a separate reality, but it also proves that there is a shared reality that no one can see.
Mm-hmm.
No one sees it as it is, you know? But it is.
But it still is. But we all still
so, like, the shaman and the lumberjack walking through the same forest, shaman sees one thing, lumberjack sees another thing, shaman feels one thing, lumberjack feels another thing. That does not change the fact that they're walking through the same forest.
So how's that going to work when we are sharing a virtual world? Do we suddenly homogenize the external?
Well, that's the thing. There, the forest is how to engage consciousness. A subjectively viewable reality is the only place that a consciousness belongs, in my opinion.
So as separately programmed consciousnesses, we will perceive our shared programming realm differently.
Absolutely.
Still.
And I think when you're talking about, like, what do we lose, like, that's why I don't think we'll lose anything, but I think we can gain something.
Yeah,
from the human experience of realizing, like, I'm in a virtual world, it's set up to look like a Japanese forest, I'm in it, and I'm feeling and experiencing these things, and here's a person who was in the real Japanese forest this was based on, and they're here in this virtual world. I mean, they feel something different.
Yeah, and if they have the... And both are equally valid. If their synapses are firing in the same way our synthetic neurons are firing, then the experience is no different. I mean, who's to say that a dream is any different than a psychedelic drug trip, is any different than waking life, is any different than virtual reality?
The only difference is the effects on your physical body.
Yeah.
That's the only difference. You know, like virtual reality or a shamanic journey affects your physical body differently than walking around in reality.
Usually
does.
We take away the physical reality aspect when we engage in these altered forms of perception.
Yeah.
Because the perception is what creates the sensations that we get for our physical form.
Yeah. So here's how I think it's going to go. I think first we're going to get chips in our heads or in our body somewhere that track us and or link us to a connected web of information sharing and or awareness sharing. You know, we're all going to get like a chip in our head. And then once we have all that intercommunication like built into our physical body, that will be what maps and it becomes able to copy the human consciousness. At which point, collectively, everyone with a chip in their head will be like, yeah, I think we can do this.
Yeah.
And there will be no, like, fighting amongst the people who have decided to do this. There will be people who don't, and then people who do, until one coalesces into the other, or they'll maintain the binary.
I mean, there
could
certainly be a half civilization that lives in machines world.
And then the other part that, like, mows their lawns or, like, wipes their faces off while they're in their cryo sleep, you know? And I think that, like, we'll play with it. I think humans will play the way we do. You know, with everything new and fantastic, we'll play with it until it becomes boring. And then when it becomes boring, the actual reason and use for it will be revealed, you know, which may be the awareness of what the soul is, the awareness that it doesn't exist, or the awareness that, like, we can copy it, and that a soul is simply, like, a group of experiences experienced by a conscious being in a subjective reality shared with other people, proving that the reality they're all sharing is not ever seeable by any of them, which by virtue of the fact that, like, that is an unfathomable, like, conundrum and, like, riddle to be alive and being in, we will laugh. We'll say, oh, strange. I created an entire virtual world and it treats me exactly the same as the totally real world, which makes the real world and the virtual world synonymous with each other. Which means it doesn't really matter which one I live in. It doesn't really matter if I live forever or if I die. What matters is that I can share my subjective experience of reality with another person to create an anomalous thing that we call shared reality.
I mean, at the root of it, what I love is what we're really going to find, I think, is that the beauty of reality, whatever we call that, whether it's a virtual reality or a material reality, is all inside the mind. You know, it's very Buddha. Where it's, you know, peace comes from within, do not seek without. And at the end of the day, it's like this story we tell ourselves, it is who we are. So it doesn't really matter if the story is being told in a digital ones and zeros medium or if it's being told in a molecular chemical medium. All that really matters is the subjective story that we as individuals decide to tell ourselves. Like, every moment only matters as much as we want it to. Yeah. It's not about if we struggled to get there or if this is going to be taken away. It's a here and now moment, and you get to say, do I love this moment or do I not love this moment? Do I hear it?
So whether you're getting tortured or being a toaster,
yeah,
you know, like you're still, my point is like, you're still, regardless of whether your consciousness is copied or whether it's authentic,
mm-hmm.
like you're still going to have a subjective view of whatever reality you're in, and you're still going to be able to share it with beings sharing that subjective experience with you. You know? Like, I think there's only growth to happen.
I think it's going to increase sharing, and I think that's the beauty. I think we're going to remove suffering. We're going to get rid of labels and boxes that make ideas like gender and race and sexuality
instantaneously because they're connected to their thoughts.
Yeah.
You know?
When you just fucking, what if everybody had to just log on once a day to do the empathy machine and they just were like, oh, I know what it's like to now be like a kid in, you know, sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or I know now what it's like to be somebody in Russia or South America or America.
Or on Mars.
Or on Mars or whatever. Like, I'm a woman today and tomorrow I'm a man and the next day I'm a transgender person and the next day I'm a fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, how much more would you appreciate reality when you actually tasted so many different variations of it?
And then how much less would you fear leaving? Like, how much less would you fear losing? Like, you would know that everything continues.
Well,
like,
you wouldn't be attached to your individualistic you form because you realized you were all forms. You could be any form.
Yeah.
You don't need to fight for an identity because your identity is infinite and so is everyone else's.
And changeable and moldable based on the present moment. Yeah.
Any closing thoughts?
I'm ready for the chip in my head.
Bring on the chip in our head. I'm so excited for Google Glass
and chips in my head. That's what I'm ready for.
Uploading consciousness here at Curious Apes. We are excited about it. Maybe two of the few people who are. We get a lot of slack for this issue, but we quite like it. Thank you so much for watching. This is Curious Apes with Antonio.
Thanks, Curious Apes.
We are out.